Yeah, I said that I can't pull up the name of that because it's untitled. But poetry and spoken word too, that's something that I haven't done as much as I want to because of other things I've been involved with. I'm not married, don't have any kids, love women. But in my family, in my community, it's not a lot of guys like me, so I got a lot of responsibility. So the time becomes an issue, but I know God will work that out.
That's good. So why haven't
Yeah,
you?
I have a. Go ahead.
No, go
Yeah.
ahead. Okay, can you hear me?
I got you.
You said you can't because you're starting to fade out again now.
Okay. You gonna say something?
Huh?
You gonna say something?
Okay, yeah, I was gonna ask you another question.
Okay.
Okay, now switching to your education. I see that you majored in political science with a minor in African studies.
Africana
What made
studies.
you ch Africana studies? Okay. What made you choose those majors?
I was put out of school when I was a junior. My family was homeless, and I considered going into the crime. All my cousins were drug dealers, and the low point in my life. And my grandmother encouraged me to go back to school. So when I went back to school, I excelled, and I began to try to understand why my family was the way it was, particularly not so much party was from recently in my community. So I began to study the political system of the United States and other countries and learn about the history of my people. And it gave me a whole new dimension as a human being and a man. I was a top student in my program, my department at my university. I was the first person to graduate from the Africana Studies program. It gave me that cultural element that had been missing in my life about where I came from and who I am. I had great teachers as well. That really helped me become a true human being and a worthy black man. It's also a very lucrative field to go into because there is a high need for individual expertise, particularly in the African diaspora. If you're going to work internationally, there's a lot of demand for it. So it was also a business decision as well.
Okay, so I see that you, after which you received a master's in public affairs.
Yes, I earned my first master's in public affairs with concentration in community and economic development.
And what made you decide to pursue that degree?
Well, I'm a servant at heart. The first person I ever loved was my mother, and my mother was a servant. It's the best career to have. I'm a natural born leader. And I saw a lot of ways that I can contribute and improve in what I saw going on in government. I also was awarded a fellowship, $30,000. So that also had a role to play in me deciding to study that field and go to UNC Greensboro. What I'll tell you is if I could do it again, I wouldn't pursue that degree because the department was lacking in intellectual curiosity. But in hindsight, it has given me a unique advantage over my fellow colleagues in studying economic development because right now there is no bigger issue before local governments, the states, and this country than the economy. So the expertise that I've gained in studying that and doing research and working in that field has blessed me a great deal.
Okay. And then I see that, if I'm correct, you received another master's, correct?
I'm projected to graduate with a master's in conflict resolution in the spring of 2012. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what made you decide to go back for another master's in that field?
Well, one of the things that was lacking in that first master's degree was an international component. If you ask your average professional in local government about what's going on in China or Canada or Taiwan or Russia, they can't tell you. But they operate in a globalized economic system. Secondly, conflict is the dominant theme in the world today. You can look at 9/11. You can look at the price of gas, the price of groceries. We have a problem in our economic system. So being that I want to work internationally, I want to travel, conflict resolution allowed me to study a large number of fields, but gain an expertise in something that's not going to go away. My philosophy is conflict is not necessarily bad. It depends on how you respond to it and if you use it as an asset. If you hear couples talk about, you know, we argue a lot, of, we argue. Arguing is evidence of differences. It's an opportunity to strengthen the bond that you have. That is why most people avoid conflict. So for me, I'm a natural facilitator. Once again, it's also a growing field, and it's very. So once again, it's also a good.
So what made you go into entrepreneurship?
Well, when I was younger, I'd always planned to work in business, and I believe there's a short time period for people to put their financial house in order. When you have record numbers of people on food stamps, record numbers of people asking for help from charities, you have a national government that's in record levels of debt, you have states that are broke, you have Medicare and Social Security that are broke. There's a lot of weakness. People wonder, what do I do? What can I do? Your answer is your problem. How are you going to interact with your fellow citizens and so on? Everyone who is financially free is an entrepreneur. They're a business person. Barack Obama is not a millionaire because he was in the Senate. He's an author and a public speaker. So everyone needs to have a business. So for me, I want to call my own shot. The only person I want to bow down to as far as the job is God and myself. So now is a time like no other to go out there and build your own empire. I plan to be fully retired in 3 years. I plan to be a millionaire, a multimillionaire, at least in 3 years. Now, when I tell people that, a lot of folks say, they might laugh or they say, okay, but you know what? That doesn't matter to me. Because I know people who are affluent do the things the average person will not, cannot, or don't know about. So the only thing stopping me from being a millionaire is myself.
Right. So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I plan to be fully living outside the United States. I'm not sure which residence. I'm looking at developing some properties outside the U.S. I plan to be fully employed in my own companies, as well as my nonprofit project, because the other side of being a millionaire is helping people. I have great love for the human race, and there are a lot of people out here hurting. So one benefit of being a millionaire is being able to bless people financially. So I see my work on two tracks: being a global investor and entrepreneur, being a global philanthropist, but most of all, being a servant in all those realms. I don't believe the nonprofit world and the for-profit world are in conflict. They're just two sides of the same coin that depends on human need and want for both profit and purpose in living. I plan to bring that marriage to a unified glory.
So let me ask you this. Before you leave this earth, what stamp, what mark would you like to have, want people to know about you?
That I recognize the most valuable thing was life. With that life, I love God and I love people. And I took joy in being a servant. The best career someone can have is to be a servant. And you want to be there. Michael Jackson says to Paul McCartney, McGraw's Night says, he says, Paul, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Right.
If you are a lover, you are a fighter. And a fighter has to love. Just look at Rocky. So people remember that I was a great lover. Like my Savior, nothing will please me more.
So what you would like for people to know about you is that you love people.
Well, yes, but realize that loving people is not an emotion. It's not a feeling that you have. It's a commitment to do right by people. I've heard guys in my life, I love her, and I've heard Jesse, and I love him, I love you. Well, loving someone is about being committed to doing what's right and putting them first.
Mm-hmm.
That's loving people. That's not an easy thing to do, but that's love. It's not an emotion. My grandpa told me, he said, son, love is the canvas of your life. The feelings and emotions you have are the colors on that canvas. You color that love, but love is not the colors. Love is the canvas.
So let me ask you this. What advice can you give an up-and-coming lover and server, like yourself, if they wanted to go into this field?
I would say don't be afraid to be a maverick. Don't make complex what's simple. Relax, have fun, talk to people, build your networks. And you must have a global perspective. And you must exploit the internet and technology. There are plenty of people who are making millions of dollars on the internet. And your average person in this country does not have a home-based business. You get into things for $50, $10 a month, you get into stuff. The average person is not doing it. You have to cultivate a mindset. It's what I call an infinite mindset, infinite wealth. There's a song by Jay-Z, I think on his first album with Memphis Bleek, where he's talking about putting him on. And you got to have a mindset of a baller or a ballette. You got to think like a person that's on another level. But you also got to have substance in that style. You have the style. You got chromed out cars. You don't have the substance. You 4 months behind on the car paint. Something is backwards. Do the basics. You can come out on top.
Okay. And what, one final question, what major attribute do a person who wants to go into a field, what's the most important attribute that they must have?
You must have an indomitable will. If I had to give an example of that, I point to Jesus Christ and I point to Rocky. Jesus Christ, knowing he's going to be crucified, walked up Golgotha and was beat to dust. Nonetheless, he finished his mission. Rocky was a bum. He was a gangster. He was a loser. But he had the heart of a king. He wouldn't give up. If you're going to do things the average person doesn't do, you're going to have to will to go your own way.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that kind of will, you're going to eventually quit. You're going to get discouraged. And you might go crazy. It happens to people. But you got to know why you're doing what you're doing. You got to have no personal reason to get in front of your eyes. And realize that in order to get stress and strain, you got to flow and you got to grow. But you can't do that if you don't know who you are. You got to know who you are.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay, you got to know who you are. Okay, so basically, so that concludes our interview. I know that you got to flow and you got to grow.
Yeah, and that's hard for folks to do.
Mm-hmm.